Number 19A.
We come to cassette 19. Now, in the hour that we just had before, I made apparently a mistake of speech, saying in Genesis instead of glossary. I always referred wrongly to Genesis instead of glossary. So just make a correction of that. Actually, you knew that I was talking about glossary, not Genesis. Now, we go to that glossary definition, and after Mrs. Eddy has introduced the universe as an all universe, through that all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, whereby all was written in lowercase, we know that mind itself at the point of the word is all with a capital A, whereas mind at the point of Christianity is an all with a lowercase all. And so she introduces actually the definition, the glossary definition or explanation of God from the point of view of the universe, the all universe, and then gives the seventh synonymous term in the order of principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love. Why in this order? This is our question now. And we have to grasp that clearly so that we just don't learn this order by heart, but that we know why this is the order and why it has to do with Christianity. The very first thing that we notice in this definition, compared with the other ones that we had, the Word of the Christ order, is that we have between each synonymous term a semicolon, whereas in the other orders we had a comma between the individual synonyms. Now, we should ask ourselves, what is the meaning of a semicolon? It's a grammatical question, but it will be a very illumining answer for the order. I would say the understanding of that order depends quite a lot of understanding what semicolon means. Now, what really does mean grammatically a semicolon? How would we define that? It means a full stop. Yes, very often you can put it there where you have a full stop. When do you think you would use a semicolon instead of that full stop, which you could use? I mean, there must be a reason why we have another sign but a full stop. Though you can say a thought has come to an end, a statement has come to an end, and we could put a full stop, and yet sometimes we feel we make a semicolon. Why do we feel that? And does our feeling say, don't make a full stop, make a semicolon? Because that what follows is perhaps a bit closer related to it than if it is just a full stop. Though, after full stop, you can also say something that follows the preceding sentence, but it seems to give a sense of a closer relationship, of a closer flow. Well, what actually is a semicolon, it is actually a full stop and a comma. It's a combination of both. So a semicolon is something between a full stop and a comma. What is a comma? It's a breathing.
A pause.
A pause, huh? Yes, it's a pause which you use because the first part has not yet come to an end. You want to follow, there is a great drive to go on, yet somehow you got out of breath and you feel I have to pause a little bit. So a semicolon therefore combines those two things. A comma, the thought goes on and the flow goes on. In a semicolon, you come to a kind of a stop and yet you feel you should go on. Now, these semicolons are actually between a full stop and a comma. What does it mean now if those synonymous terms are separated by a semicolon? It means, yes, what it means. Now we can see why it is a full stop and why it must not be quite a full stop. It must have a comma added to it. Can you see the following? We said, and we come back, we said, Christianity is where we go out from the universe and reduce the universe back to God. If we bring an idea, a specific idea, back to God, we have done it. It's fulfilled. We cannot go higher than go back to God. So it should be a full stop. We can trace back an idea to its synonymous term. That's that, full stop. Because higher we cannot go. But then we begin also to realize that every idea is somehow related to every other idea, and that every synonymous term is somehow related to every other synonymous term. So that we feel if we bring back an idea just to the synonymous term, that's higher we cannot go. But we feel actually when we bring back an idea to a synonymous term, we bring it back to all the seven synonymous terms because they all reflect each other. So in that way you have an idea being brought back to God and then feel, but that idea is actually not only an idea of one synonymous term, so it actually should be brought back to all the seven synonymous terms, or it is not complete. So you have a two-directional sense, so to say. One is to lead the idea back to God, and there is a full stop. And on the other hand, you say, but the idea is more than just one, an idea of one synonymous term. It flows further and reflects all the other ideas. So you have a horizontal flow, which is given with a comma. The full stop is an end from idea to God. And the comma is that it says, but flow further. Bring, so to say, every idea back to God, and therefore we have those semicolons. And when we consider now together the meaning of each synonymous term, which is specific to the Christianity order, not specific to the world of Christ order, we can easily see that.
And actually, is that why she starts off with the great I am?
Yes.
That everything goes back through and finishes with the great I am.
Yes, 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 yes. So we can now define, so to say, the place value of each synonymous term through the ideas here. That's why you have this chart, Christianity order one. And so we go and try to fill that in. The first column on the left-hand side is entitled Nature of Idea, and we consider this. Can you see now? We go out from idea, not from God. That's Christianity. We translate now the universe of idea back to God. Now, let's see if we can reason out this order in a natural way, so that it is not forced, so that we don't try to fit something. We just try to reason always very logically. Namely, our basis is the universe. All right. Therefore, not God. All right. Therefore, the column must have to do with the universe, with the nature of idea I have written there. I could also have perhaps said universe, the nature of the universe of idea, or anything like that. Now, if we go out from the whole experience of the universe and see that that is at the focal point of idea, that is a universe of idea, a realm of idea. Now, what would be the very first question or reasoning if we say, I have to trace that back to its spiritual origin? What would I see if I have an all a universe of idea with many ideas all infinite ideas, what would be my first reaction if I try and say, what is the spiritual origin? I guess I would say, what?
Which way do I go?
That's right. I go back to its spiritual origin. What do I find there as the spiritual origin of all ideas? Exactly. And not mine. I would say all these ideas come from one principle. I would reduce the universe to God. And therefore would say all ideas really have but one principle if I bring them back to God. Wouldn't I? Instead of saying this is a universe of ideas, of infinite ideas, ideas, I can't grasp by infinite ideas. That's too difficult. We cannot grasp the infinite through the infinitude. Therefore, I would say, where do they come from? To what point can I reduce them? I would say, I can reduce them just to one principle. From the infinite one in Christian Science comes one principle, and it's infinite ideas. Does Mrs. Eddy say so? That's the point. So that I begin to interpret the universe, the realm of ideas, by tracing the universe back to God and see there is but one principle of the whole universe, of all these ideas. So perhaps we could put into that box there our epitome and could say all ideas have one principle, only that we could write down there. All ideas have one principle. Now, yes. I wait a moment till you have written it down. So I've traced it back to its origin. Full stop. I can't trace it further back. I can't. It's full stop. But I haven't answered all the questions about the universe of ideas. I haven't. I've only answered one, namely the origin of that one origin. Yes. Therefore, somehow my thought wants to expand further. Therefore, there must be a comma to that full stop. And I get a semicolon. Thought wants to expand and says, now, what is now this universe of ideas that come from one principle? How does it look like? I come to the nature again of the idea and say, are these ideas material? Are they spiritual? Are they limited? What are they? What kind of a nature? See, I always talk about the nature of ideas. What kind of a nature do these ideas have? Then I can't say their nature is a principle. I only can see here that the nature of these ideas are of one and the same stuff. I trace them back to what they are. They are of mind. It's a mind universe. It's an idea universe of the divine mind. So I begin to see that that one principle that has an infinite universe has a universe of ideas of mind. So my thought flows from principle to mind. Is that natural? So we could put in perhaps here that all is idea at the point of mind. That all is idea. All is mind and mind's idea. Yes? Let's see if we can see it most practical way. You have a universe, no matter if that universe appears to be material, good or evil, if it is a universe where everything is rotten or not quite rotten, whatever it is. Here we have a universe and we say now, what is happening here? What is actually happening? What kind of a universe do I have actually? So the very first thing I would see that I don't have to deal with these infinite manifestation and phenomena, and I don't know what they are, but I say to myself, there must be behind it the governing principle. They are all gathered together. That whole universe somehow is gathered together and governed by one principle. So my very first thought would be to say, even if I don't understand this universe fully, even if I don't know what is good and bad and so on in it, I only know one thing, that there is only one principle of the universe that leads me back to the one principle. But I wouldn't be happy alone with that. somehow the comma would come and say, but yes, there is a principle behind that universe. Because every physicist will say that. He'll say, oh yes, behind the whole cosmos there is one principle. Everything is governed according to law and order and system in that celestial universe. There is no chaos there. There is just one celestial harmony there. He too would say, behind that universe is a principle. But does he know the nature of that universe? He says, oh, yes, that's material laws, you know, and that principle manifests itself in material phenomena, also in psychic phenomena, oh yes, also in aesthetic phenomena, in artistic phenomena, in psychic phenomena, in mental phenomena. And he has a whole lot of kind of phenomena. As in Christian Science, naturally, you have only one, namely, that they are all mind, that it's only a mind universe. That's the next big step. Can you see the reasoning? Say no, then we start again. But isn't that the way, that's exactly the way you demonstrate anything. And we said Christianity is a point of demonstration and using and so on. What do? You have a universe of disease and sickness and lack and everything. And then, what is your first motion? First motion is, but something is not quite right about this thing here. After all these things must be governed by one principle. So I better go back to one principle. Don't we do that? We don't know yet what that principle is at that point. But we really say, I don't have to deal with this disease and that disease, and with this problem and this disharmony and this discord and so on. There must be behind it somewhere a principle that is expressing itself and that apparently is not coming through rightly. So still our first motion will be to say, let's get back to that principle that is behind the whole universe. That's principle. Tracing all ideas back to the one principle. Then what do you do? The very next step is that you say, and I don't have to do with material phenomena. I don't have to do with psychic phenomena. I have to do with all his mind, with mental cause, with mental origin, with mental phenomena. All is actually mind. I have to correct now, see, to translate material terms, we saw, into metaphysical terms and lead them back to their origin. So I translate material terms to their mental origin and say, and their mental origin has the true origin in the divine mind. Don't we do that? We take a disease and say, well, the disease looks to be material and corporeal, but we know there is a mental origin, be it mortal mind, the cause of disease. But what is mortal mind? Is mortal mind something? Is that the nature of our universe? And you trace back mortal mind to its origin, say, actually it's only divine mind, which can be misunderstood. But it's still divine mind. Yeah? So you begin to see the second flow and say, after all, I have only to deal with mind and mind's ideas. All is idea, and not all is matter and body and people and personal things. All is idea. So you come to that second step. We fill in this box here, as we said, all is idea in mind. All is idea. If you have all, and it is idea, singular, but used in the plural, because it's all ideas. So it's not the Christ idea, not the Christ idea. It's the ideas, that the nature of the universe consists of ideas. So we begin to see at this point that we have to deal with an ideational universe. So full stop. That universe is a universe of ideas of mind, full stop. It's not a universe of matter, corporeal things, people, and so on. Full stop. No, not quite full stop. You know, I don't know yet quite how big these ideas are. I'm pushed somehow further along. say, what's the use of knowing that it is just an ideational universe and not a material universe? Now, what are these ideas? And so I come to a next question to solve, namely, that I have to see now, what is the nature of an idea? What is the identity of an idea? And if I trace back an idea again back to its origin, to a synonymous term, with that question, what is now the identity of an idea? If I have infinite ideas, now how does each idea distinguish itself from all other ideas, and therefore what is the identity of each idea? I ask myself now, are they a little portion of God, or are they just a tiny little bit of God, or are they a part of God, or what are they? If I trace an idea back to God, what do? I say an idea is of the same magnitude as God, that an idea has all that what God has. That's why it is so. I begin to identify an idea to the whole nature of God. You see that? So here we could say, at the point of soul, I think, we could say that each idea is identified with its principle. Each idea is identified with its principle. This is a big point. Can you see that? Can you see again? I just repeat and repeat until it must sink in. I go out from idea. I don't go out from God. If I go out from idea, I'm at the point of Christianity. According to the question I put here, I see that ideas can be traced back to God, to one of the seven synonymous terms. To which one? The moment I ask here, all right, the whole universe is a universe of ideas, that was at the point of mind, but what is actually the nature of each idea? Is it little? Is it a part? Is it just a little slice of the whole, or what? And the answer is no. It is of the same magnitude, of the same quality, let's say of the same quality as its origin. The moment I say of the same, I say it's identical, and therefore that's the nature of soul. There's the same identity as God has, qualitatively.